You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 17th. And this morning, on Capitol Hill, they are waking up to the fact that the House passed a long-awaited energy bill very late last night.
It showed up here last night at 9:45. A 290-page bill, 9:45 last night, that no member had ever seen. And guess what? As we stand here tonight, no member has read. All right, anybody, member, show me. Some member stand up and tell me you've read this bill. That's what I suspected. Not one member.
They were so tired they couldn't stand up.
They couldn't stand up. It was very late, but it did pass, and it has renewable fuels, cracks down on big oil subsidies, and expands on offshore oil drilling. It contains many things, but perhaps not a likelihood of actually passing the Senate. Some call it an election year energy bill. For more on this...
Oh, no. For all you need to know, go, go, Tops Willack.
Yes.
Wow, that's an interesting intro. Thanks for that, Dylan, our engineer. That's right, we have our own Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection with us. Good morning, Todd.
Van Halen?
Todd, you've got a theme song, dude.
Do you feel welcomed this morning?
I do. As long as it's Van Halen, I'm down with it.
Well, what happened last night?
Well, everything that you said was absolutely correct. They passed this bill, and everyone's been waiting on it for a long time. But what really happened was a standoff on this election issue. The bill did pass, and it does expand offshore drilling, which is this thing that Democrats sworn they wouldn't do for, I don't know, the last 15 or 20 years. This has been anathema to them. So here they come sort of to the middle and say, here's some offshore drilling that Republicans have been demanding all through August and July and June. And the bill passed not quite on a party line vote, but pretty close to it. This is a great big election issue, and that's why nobody really expects any of this policy that was passed by the House to actually make it into the books of any law by year's end.
So why did the Democrats do an about-face? Does it have anything to do with the fact that opinion polls show that a growing number of Americans are actually for offshore drilling?
Oh, sure. I mean, it has to have to do with that exactly. Republicans spent all of August while the Congress was on August recess. Republicans had this sort of revolving daily kind of what they called protests coming on a darkened House floor and giving speeches to tourists, essentially, and any reporters that were straggling around on the importance of offshore drilling and why Democrats weren't for it. This is the one big, solid issue that Republicans have gotten some traction on.
Except they're not happy about this. They're not happy about this bill because it's got this 50-mile offshore restriction, which puts Alaska and lots of the Gulf off the table. I mean, is this a kind of a compromise in name only?
Yeah, well, Republicans call it a smokescreen or smoke and mirrors or whatever metaphor, John, and that's exactly right. There's a buffer of 50 miles, and then outside of 100 miles, you could drill without a state's approval. Republicans say this is just a smokescreen political cover so that Democrats have something to vote for, so they can say, yes, I did vote for offshore drilling, just like you wanted, public. Democrats, on the other hand, say we have never been for any opening up any more offshore drilling than we already have. We've come a long way towards the Republicans on this. There is no bill we could have produced that Republicans would have supported anyway. And why is that? Because, like we just said, Republicans have traction on an issue finally, especially an issue on domestic policy. Why in the world would they all of a sudden vote for a bill and come together with Democrats and give up the only issue that they've got they've got any tread on here?
And that's an important point because regardless, it's not likely to pass the Senate. I mean, the Senate has a whole another different bill that they're taking a look at.
That's right. The Senate may get to this by the end of this week, more likely next week. And they're going to probably start from a whole different paradigm. Parts of the bill might be similar, but the procedure, and we don't have to get into it, but the way the Senate is going to address this is going to be far different. And even if this bill doesn't get filibustered in the Senate, which it could well do, despite this a group of people who are trying to compromise, normal legislating and normal passing of laws would then require a House of goodwill and a Senate of goodwill and members of both parties of goodwill to come together and produce something.
That would require another country, actually.
That, by the way, a president of goodwill would be willing to sign. Hmm. And nothing is impossible, but if you think that that's going to happen 5 weeks before a contentious election, I'll put my money on that one.
Let's talk about the dynamic that exists now in Washington, given the fact that the elections are just weeks away at this point.
Right. Well, Congress is designed at this point to be pretty much all politics all the time. On the big issues that require action immediately, for instance, the AIG bailout of last night, members of Congress were briefed on that by Bernanke and Paulson, but they weren't asked their opinion. They were told. So at times like this, Congress is sort of, well, in that issue, Congress is sidelined, probably by necessity. And on most things at this point, when you have 535 members, most of whom are running for re-election, and they all want the guy of their party to get elected president, it's almost impossible to expect them to pass any kind of compromise legislation of any import. They might get one or two small things. Some post offices get named, probably without a problem. Maybe a couple of scenic trails in the Grand Canyon or something.
No. That's good. Let's take care of that. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd. Thanks very much. Todd Zwillick reporting from Washington, D.C., from the Capital News Connection.
And, dude, check your Van Halen. It's Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. Is it real? Sorry.
Maybe we'll let him back.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.